Well, good morning. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy for a few reasons. Number one, I'm happy because I get to preach to you today, talk with you a little bit. I think we're going to dive into the Word and have a good time. But I'm also happy because today we are kicking off our Christmas sermon series, Christmas at Promised Land. Thanksgiving is officially over. It is now Christmas time. Okay, that is the rule, all right? I'm establishing that right now. For those of you who've had Christmas lights and trees since October, stop it, okay? It's too much. Gotta let Thanksgiving be what it is. Got to give the turkey their shine. Now Christmas is here, so I'm excited. We're going to dive into the Word and enjoy that. But man, it's said so frequently that I feel like it is kind of becoming a little cliche. But this year, more than ever, my heart has been opened that Jesus is really the reason for the season. Jesus is really everything that is Christmas and the reason that we celebrate. And it has been placed so heavy on my heart to talk to you a little bit this morning about how everything is about Jesus. And if we have lost sight of that, even in the slightest, our hope and our prayer, me included, would be that we could refocus on what Christmas is, this season is all about. But before we jump into the Word, I want to say what's up to a couple people, all of our online family. Thank you for watching today. We're so thankful that you are here with us. We don't take it for granted. We love you. Drop a comment, leave an emoji, whatever you got to do to let us know you're watching. I want to give a shout out to all of my student family. For those of you who don't know, my name is Emilio, and I'm the student pastor here, and I get the privilege of working with our teens from 6th to 12th grade. And I want to say what's up to all of our students watching online in person, or if you're serving, all of our student leaders, all of our adult leaders, the whole team, our volunteers, our event volunteers, whatever. If you have any part, I love you so much. God has been blessing our ministry so much. Man, students have been receiving the power of God, having moments with God in our worship services, and just been having so much fun. We just finished our Friendsgiving last Sunday, and it was so much fun. We had our third annual pie eating contest, and I need to give a shout out to Avery Steele, wherever you are, dominated that pie eating contest. I wish I had a picture. I should have put it up there, but our first place prize for our pie eating contest was a 10-pound frozen turkey, so we sent him home the right way. I think his parents were more happy about that than he was, but anyways, it was a ton of fun. So shout out to all of our students. Hey, I want to open up the Word this morning with you. We're going to be going to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 2. If you have your Bible, let's open it to Luke, chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We have a giant one on the screen. I'm going to be doing a little bit of reading, starting in verse 1, okay? Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to enjoy our time together this morning and just enjoy Jesus. And pray for me that I get some of these names right. All right, here we go. It says, verse 1, Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when, we're going to call this guy Q, all right? This name is the one that I was telling you about. If this guy went to Starbucks, nobody would know what to write on his cup, okay? We're just going to call him Q, all right? Was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, whom he was engaged and who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Verse 8, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angels reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring good news, and this good news will bring you great joy." Somebody say, great joy. Great joy. Great joy. To all the people, the Savior, Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, verse 13, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. It says the armies of heaven praising God and saying. So this one angel is now joined by so many more angels. And it says all the armies of heaven decided to come down as well. And they praise God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace. Somebody say peace. Peace, peace on earth with whom God is pleased. I want to preach to you the Christmas story over the next few moments, and I want to title it today, The Grand Entrance. The Grand Entrance. Let me pray for you really quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we give this moment, this time up to you, God. We know that everything will fade and wither, God, but your word stands forever. Holy Spirit, help us to focus on Jesus. Even right now in this moment, God, raise our expectancy, open our spiritual eyes and ears. Take this time right now to just come through us, God, from a person who has known you for years to people sitting in here and watching online that have never known you before. In your own gracious way, speak to them and reveal Jesus to us in a new way this morning. And everybody says amen. Amen. Hey, church, I got a question for you. I always like to know who I'm speaking to and see if I can relate. Anyone in here ever, in any point in your life, ever get into wrestling? Wrestling. It's okay. You can be honest. And I'm not talking about like school wrestling where like, you know, they actually wrestle. I'm talking about like the fake stuff, right? Like, sorry to break it to you. It's not real, right? I'm talking like WWF, WWE, that sort of thing, wrestling, okay? I used to be into wrestling so much, okay? I used to love wrestling back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. I used to love wrestling. I used to watch all the things. Me and my cousins and friends, we used to reenact some of the wrestling moves on each other, right? Like my favorite wrestler was someone named Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't know if anyone knows what I'm talking about. Okay, a few of us do. I used to always try to do his moves on my cousins and they would do it on me. I used to also like The Rock, right? The Rock, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, come on. Somebody, right? I used to love The Rock, and there was all these wrestlers, and we used to love them, and we would try to dress like them, and we would try to be just like them, and we would do the moves, but there's one part of the wrestling whole, like, entertainment, like, just event that we used to love so much, okay? We used to love their grand entrances, okay? That was, like, the coolest part. Right? It didn't matter what was going on. As soon as you heard, if you smell, la, 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 right? Like, you knew what was about to happen, right? You knew what was about to happen because The Rock was about to come down and lay the smack down. Can I say that? I think I can. Lay the smack down on somebody in that ring, right? Or as soon as you heard psh, the broken glass, you knew the Texas Rattlesnake, right? Stone Cold Steve Austin was gonna run into the ring and he was gonna do his special moves and do all this stuff. And so we used to recreate these grand entrances. We used to have our own grand entrances. We used to have CDs. Come on, somebody, who remembers CDs? I don't remember tapes. If you remember tapes, you're a little older than me. But CDs, right? I'm talking CDs, 90s babies. And we used to play push play. We used to our cousin, okay, fast forward it to this part and then push play, and that's my grand entrance. And we used to make these moves, and we used to come out and have our own signs and make these grand entrances. And they were so much fun because the grand entrance was this big part. And grand entrances kind of, they transcend just wrestling. Really, you find them in other sports, but even they transcend sports. Grand entrances are a big thing in lots of different ways. I mean, like, even in weddings, right? When the bride and groom first walk into their reception, it's this grand entrance, and they present them as husband and wife for the first time, and everyone claps, and it's this great moment. Or whatever event that you're at, if you're at a ball, or if you're in a courtroom, right? I don't know, wherever, and the judge makes this grand entrance. I'm just trying to relate to everybody, all right? It doesn't matter where, but there's grand entrances. And I think about this because I read this story of little baby Jesus being born in a manger, and I get the sense that this was the grandest entrance. I mean, Jesus just enters into earth, fully God, and for the first time in human history, fully man, this new thing that no one ever knew about, that God could take on flesh. And it says that immediately his radiance, the glory of God, surrounds him. The glory of God. I watched a lot of wrestling. Not one of those wrestlers ever had the glory of God surround them as they came down the ring. I can only imagine what that felt like. The glory of God. And then it says that the one angel all of a sudden became hundreds of angels. It says a grand host, angels circling him, filled with the glory of God. And then it says all of heaven's armies are now around him, and they begin singing glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. Imagine this moment, this grand entrance of this infant toddler, and he's laying in there, and this moment is taking place. It's a grand entrance. And I started to think, what gives someone the ability to have a grand entrance? What gave the Rock the ability to have a grand entrance? I think the first thing that gives someone the ability to have a grand entrance is who they are. Who the person is. I watched a lot of wrestling, and some of those guys, I gotta be honest, they weren't as good as the other ones, right? And they didn't have as much grand entrance. You got like half a song while other guys are getting like fireworks and flames and all that stuff. Some of the lower tier guys, like the song was skipping and it was just like Rocky, right? Like, come on, right? Right now, the Steelers are 10-0. They probably get a grand entrance, all right? Other local teams might not have such a grand entrance. Okay, I'm just saying that entrances are different based on who you are. And I think the angels decided to give Jesus a grand entrance because, number one, they knew who he was. They knew that he was fully God and fully man. They knew that even though he looked like a baby, wrapped in strips of clothing, laying in a feeding trough, that he was a king of a kingdom, that he was undefeated, that he was unmatched, that he was a champion, that he had all power from hell and heaven, all he had reign over everything, power from heaven, that he had it all in this moment. And though people in the natural eye just saw a baby that looked unworthy, the angels knew who he was. And because they knew who he was, they gave him the grand entrance. Some of us have lost the ability to give Jesus the grand entrance into our lives because we've lost sight of who he is to us, to earth, to our surroundings. But he was worthy in this moment. Jesus has to be worthy in our life so that we don't lose sight of who he is and what he can do. We need to give him a grand entrance. They knew who he was. I think the second reason that we oftentimes hype up grand entrances is because we know what someone can do. We know who they are, but we also know what they can do. We know that the power that they have. I think the angels didn't only know who Jesus was, they knew what he could do. Yes. Can we ask ourselves this morning, do we know what Jesus is capable of? A real question for our life. I think that we live in a time where Jesus, especially in our Western culture, seems so readily available. There's so much content. There's so many tools and resources on how to pray and how to do this, and I'm all for it. But oftentimes we read stories like the Christmas story that we've heard time and time again, and it's almost as if that's just a thing of the past. It's this story that we read to just read a story. It's no different than Little Red Riding Hood or Jack and the Beanstalk, right? It's this thing that happened long ago that's good to talk about, but we can't really find a lot of personal application. And so because of that, we stop trying to figure out or stop trying to discover what Jesus can do. This morning, I want to remind you what Jesus can do. Power of God. Yes. in us, through us, around us. We have to make it personal. Do you know what God can do? The Bible is full of things that God can do. And I think that sometimes we read them and we just read over them because they're just this thing that can happen, but it'll never happen for me. I mean, that's a good story there. I'm glad this person got blessed here, but is that really for me? Can that really happen in my life? Can God actually do that? And we read that, and I want to encourage you this morning that you have got to put yourself in the place of the story, of a story in the Bible, somewhere in there, and you have to believe that God can do something in your life. This story of Christmas and the thing of the Bible is not something distant from you, but you are called into it. You are called into it. It is a part of who you are. You are fully in Christ, and Christ is in you. This is not distant or there's no separation. Somebody in here today, you need to start believing that everything you read, everything that Pastor Robin has ever preached about is available to you. And it's more than just a story. It can become a part of your life. The third reason I think that we give grand entrance is, number one, we know who they are. Number two, we know what they can do. And number three, we know what they will do. We know what they can do. That's one thing, to know of what someone can do. But to know what someone will do is a whole other thing. The reason I used to get excited as a young kid is not only because I knew the rock could do the rock bottom, but it was also because I knew that he would do the rock bottom, right? Or the people's elbow, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. Come on, I knew not only what he could do, but what he would do. It builds your expectancy. Now I know, hey, the angels knew this King that has been born is here to create the greatest moment in human history. Some theologians believe that this was even bigger than the crucifixion because they say a crucifixion, yet that it did save us, would never happen without the birth of the Savior first coming into earth. And so as he is born, they don't only know what Jesus can do, they have an idea of what Jesus will do because of scripture they've read. They have an expectancy. Do you live life with an expectancy for Jesus? Do you live life like Jesus is going to do everything that he says he is going to do? Do you live your life believing and walking through, regardless of your circumstance, saying, I know, God, not only what you can do, but what you will do, and you've never failed me, you've never left me alone, and so I'm going to stand on it, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to walk with it, because you will do it. All of these things cooked together lead us to this grand moment, this intellect and this knowledge and this spiritual belief that the angels carried as they sing, holy, holy, holy. And they sing this knowing. And I believe that we can dive in a little more and figure out the three things that Jesus brought to us even as an infant. That was my intro. And I believe that in this moment, Jesus brings us three gifts. Three gifts that the angels knew what he embodied, that he could do it, and that he would do it. And because of that, they worshiped him because he was God and they knew what would happen. And this is, I want to read it really quickly, these couple parts. It says, and the shepherds of the night, let me see where, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, I bring good news, and this good news will bring great joy. Somebody say, great joy. Great joy. First gift that I believe Jesus brought in that moment was joy. The Savior said, yes, the Messiah, the one who has been born today in Bethlehem in this city, David, in the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. It says, you will find a baby wrapped in snuggly strips of clothes laying in a manger. Suddenly the angel Lord was joined by a vast host of others in the armies of heaven praising. It says, glory to God in the highest and peace. Somebody say peace. I believe the second gift that Jesus embodied and brought was peace. And then it says, and then it says, on earth to those whom God is pleased. Someone say, those whom God is pleased. Now, it's important that we understand in this moment that prior to the birth of Jesus, prior to this small moment, there wasn't an ability for us to just please God. There was a process that had to happen, right? There was a sacrificial moment that had to atone us, that had to get rid of all of our sins, and that the Bible makes it very clear, they all would fall short of God's glory. And so it was almost as if this verbiage and this language that these angels are singing, to all whom will please God, was a new concept in that time, because prior to Jesus, a person on their own could never just please God. See, what they're talking about when they say please God is it's someone could be righteous. And righteous is a big word to say that we are right with God. We are in right standing, right? That God can see us and that he can confirm that we are in relationship with him, that we are in proximity with him, that we are righteous, right before him. Now, before the birth of Jesus, this could never happen, right? Because it is not. So this in itself is a gift. We can't just read over this and be like, oh, we'll be in right standing. No, it was new. This was revelation. This is something that Jesus brought to earth, the gift of righteousness. And so it's almost to say is that because they had this grand entrance, because they had the understanding that Jesus was bringing gifts to his people that were righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. There's a phrase called imputed righteousness. I want to share a little bit with you about righteousness. See, us on our own could never work or do enough to please God. We will all forever fall short of God's glory. Whether you have been saved for 15 years or 15 minutes, or this is your first time ever in a church, there is a level playing field because of the grace of God. It doesn't matter how many times you show up to the building, how many prayers you say, or how many good check boxes you can check off. Your works are never enough. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are saved by grace through faith alone, not by works, so that no one can boast. If we are ever in a position where we feel like it is our doings that is making us right before God, we have got it twisted. It was only because of Jesus. See, when God looks at us because of imputed righteousness, because now we are right with God, he doesn't see us and our brokenness and our failure. He sees the complete redemptive plan of Jesus, who died as the perfect Savior for us, so that we don't have to live lost or broken, so that we can have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus made this happen. And when God looks at us and is pleased, it's because he sees Jesus around us and in us and his work at the cross, saving us, pulling us out of the mud and into marvelous light. It is an amazing thing what Jesus has done. And this gift is born on Christmas. And then it's almost as if he says, when you become righteous, you become in right standing with God, it's almost as if there's this peace that comes with it. Some people believe that the word righteousness in its truest form and the word peace, they're almost synonyms. It's because you have one, the other is just a byproduct. This peace, that we could live with peace. The Bible says peace that surpasses all understanding. Even in moments where our circumstances don't seem like it makes sense to have peace, we can have peace because we are in right standing with God. And in a time and a moment where we're scrambling and looking for peace from all different things, in all different ways, the Bible tells us that it's the righteousness of God that will give us peace. You know, everything that the world's going through and everything that's happening, they aren't physical problems. They're spiritual problems. And I want to take it a step further for whoever catches it, but it's our responsibility We hear people talk about changing the world, saving the world, doing all these things. The Bible makes it very clear that if you want people to start experiencing peace, you need to give them Jesus. Because Jesus brings the righteousness that guarantees us the fulfillment and the sealment of the peace of God. Are you needing peace right now? Does your life feel like you need peace? Where are you with God? Where are you with God? And that's an introspective question. I don't ask that to you to make anyone feel bad. I ask that to you so that you can make the correlation in your mind. Have you ever met someone that they should act like everything's going wrong because everything is going wrong, but for some reason they're just still smiling, still moving, still joyful? It's because the peace of God transcends all things. He comes, and for the first time, he allows people to live righteous in communion with God. And then he presents this thing and he says, and you will have peace. And then the third gift he brings and he says, joy. Peace and joy. The Bible says that we will have joy, unspeakable joy. Yes. Now, if we're being realistic, joy is not a word that we've used too much in 2020. We found ourselves using more lingo and dialect, maybe like just trying to make it versus being joyful. If there's ever a year where I'm like, I'm so glad this year is over, it's 2020, all right? I heard someone say the other day, I'm not even gonna write it a postcard. I'm just gonna get it out of here, right? Now, during these holiday seasons, during Thanksgiving, though we had good times with our family, we were also struck with some pretty devastating news in multiple areas of my life personally. Tim prayed for the Valdez family, who have been friends of ours for over 10 years, and you know, other personal things that have come up that weren't happy, that weren't heartwarming, that didn't make us feel joy. And I think if we're being honest, a lot of us in here experience some of the same things at some point throughout this year. This year, between the months of maybe June and August, we had three funerals of close relatives. One of them due to COVID-19 and the other one's due to unknown circumstances. And to walk through that amount of trauma and sadness and grief, joy was never a part of our verbiage. I wasn't radiating joy. I wasn't joyful. I didn't feel this joy that the Bible talks about. I felt sadness. I felt grief. I felt myself closed down because I couldn't express that much emotion and still hold the strength that I was supposed to for my family, hold the strength that I was supposed to for myself. So I had to makeshift walls and put these things up because it was just becoming way too much. The pressure of life and the sadness of just everyday living and then COVID. And then our heart breaks for these cities that are or were rioting and these people who are facing injustice, to turn on social media and watch people be beaten and murdered, and to watch this feud go on with two different communities, which I can relate with and stand with, and to go through all of these things. Joy wasn't something that I was just full of this past year. How? And then we get into the holiday season, and statistics will tell us that actually depression, anxiety, and suicide go up because of the loneliness that people experience. And I begin, as I study, to find this irony that this season that we're in is in existence, created only because of the love of God. Do you realize that? Without the love of God and without Jesus, God coming to earth, there is no Christmas season, right? It doesn't exist, right? So we're in this season that only exists because of the love of God and the works of God. Yet, it is pushing people further away from God than it is pulling them close to them. Why? Do you see the irony? It's because our focus has left Jesus and his grand entrance so much that now we can live in a season about Jesus broken. And we can live in a season about Jesus and celebrate Jesus hopeless and hurting. Do you see the irony in this? That there wouldn't even be a season to be depressed in if God hadn't came to save the world. And it has been so twisted and so turned around because our view on what Christmas and this season is all about, and we will prepare with decorations and we will prepare with presents and we will fail to prepare for the grand entrance of our King. And the gifts that he brings. It is impossible to live with peace when Jesus is not your focus. It is impossible to live with joy when Jesus is not your focus. Yes, amen. And we lose sight of it. And we live in a season that is supposed to be all about Jesus and celebrating him with people that are so hopeless, that are hurting, that are focused on their circumstance, that don't have peace and they can't find joy. And we have to now ask ourselves, what is it that Christmas is all about? The band can come out here and I'm gonna close in the next few moments, but asking ourselves the question, what is Christmas about? Do we carry the same knowledge and expectation today, over 2,000 years later, that the angels did on this day, knowing Jesus had come, knowing God had come? Do we still prepare for that same grand entrance? Does our heart still long for the presence of God to come? Or has Christmas become about something else, which has led us down a path to look at our circumstances more than we look at Jesus, which has led us to feel stressed? This Christmas season, it seems like more than Jesus brings envy and jealousy, comparison, greed, a desire for self-gain, the amount of children that we see on the internet upset because they didn't get the gift that they wanted, or it wasn't big enough or good enough. What are we instilling in our next generation? What are we doing in our own minds? What has culture led us to that this season that was supposed to be all about Jesus has become about something completely different? And I'm not knocking the decorations. I love Christmas more than the next. I love the hot cocoa. I love the movie The Grinch. I love snuggling. I love, well, just my wife. I love, you know, everything that Christmas brings, I love it too. But not at the expense of Jesus. Jesus has always been the reason that this season exists. And I believe that if we recentered our focus on Jesus and knew that this moment, the greatest moment in human history, listen to this, the power of God through the Holy Spirit came into a young virgin girl and birthed God. When did it stop being about that? God in human skin came to start the greatest plan of redemption the world has ever seen. And he puts on skin and he goes through trial and tribulation. He goes through ridicule. He is mocked. He faces the same problems as you and I. And the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin so that I through him could become the righteousness in Christ Jesus. It is an opportunity. Do you realize that whatever it is you're facing, your answer was born on Christmas? If you need hope, hope was born on Christmas. If you need life, life was born on Christmas. If you need strength, strength was born on Christmas. We're losing sight of what happened in that day with all the fluff and all the decorations, but we need to realize that the answer to everything that we need in our life was born on this day, and that's why we celebrate. That's why we give the grand entrance, not because it's religious or it's cultural or it's fun, but because everything for the history of the world changed on that night. And I'll start, Father, forgive me for shifting my focus and forgetting that more than Black Fridays and great sales and big TVs, it is about you and you alone. The one who was and is to come. Let's sing this song together. Would you stand with me? Let me pray for you. And let's just focus on Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do. God, we place our focus on you. We place our focus on you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the answer to every problem, every dilemma, the comforter, the stress reliever, the hope giver, the anxiety killer, the depression killer, God, the suicidal thought killer. God, you are the one and the only. You will restore all joy and give us all peace through your righteousness. Come on, church, let's sing this together and worship.